come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
I swear, every week, every day, every hour, calls for playing those damn 10 pals. I hate hearing that.
And who do we lose this week?
Probably, of all the 10 bells I've ever played, this probably, up to this point, I don't even think we did it for my dad, but I'm sure every person in the world has had that one teacher that starts out as a teacher, kind of becomes a mentor, then becomes a friend. So, awful news yesterday. If you're from the Tampa Bay area, well, if you're from the St. Pete area, the Pinellas County, I would be willing to bet anyone between the ages of 28, 30 to probably 75, 80 knows who Coach Bill Dudley is. Bill Dudley, first met him. That's the first time. Ironically, I messaged his widow this morning, and I said I've never called Coach by his first name, and I never did. I've never called my mother-in-law by her first name either. So Coach Dudley was my PE coach in middle school, and I've always said, and I told her this morning, that when I moved on to high school, he followed me. Now, it just so happened, I'm sure I had nothing to do with it. But he was that teacher. You know, he was the go-to guy. He did PE. He did some real classes. He taught driver's ed. When I went in the military and I'd come home on my leave, I would go to Northeast High School just to sit down and talk to him. We would always see him at FERC's. He was on the city council. He was on the school board. He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. My only regret's not the right word, because I do regret one thing, and you know who that's about. Nothing. No comment, no laugh.
No, I got it. I'm following along. I'm with you. I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say.
So other than that one regret is that I never wrestled. I never went out for wrestling. And Coach Bill Dudley was the reason that I wanted to do that. But probably the reason, you know, not having talent had a lot to do with that. So he suffered a stroke and passed away yesterday morning. And like I said, anybody that went to Northeast High School definitely would know who he is. Anybody who is in a wrestling program anywhere in the Tampa Bay area would know who he is. It's just a sad day for anybody that knew this guy, who is and will always be considered a legend.
Now, obviously, I have local connections to the Dudley family through Hofacker and Associates, through Craig Williams. So it's a tragic loss for Northeast St. Pete. Tragic loss for anyone that knew him. And you're right. His stories are legendary. The impact that he made in his community through the school is legendary. But my question to you, Randy, is should the 10 bell salute be used in this program as we're scaling to a national influence, or international influence with radio? That's a local connection to just you, but Knockout Radio is everything. So if taking the personal context out of it, would you still do the 10 bell salute for Dudley, even though he's only known locally in St. Pete, as opposed to like a global platform?
Okay, I'm going to answer that. Answer it with two answers. One, sure. Seeing that he's in National Wrestling Hall of Fame, it kind of makes it a little national.
Okay,
I mean, I understand what you're saying, And I don't want to come across like I normally do, especially after this very serious talk that we had not too long ago.
Yeah.
My second answer is I own this freaking show.
Of course.
And I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying it, you know, to anybody who would ever question that in California, Canada, whatever. Right. So it really doesn't matter. Yes, those bells mean something personally to me as the host and owner of this show and what we're building. Sure. So sure. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
I mean, I think you're right, 100%. Like, that's the point. But even for your own self, for your own questioning, to be a global influence, do you have to take out the local stuff? Because to connect with people, they want you to feel like you're their neighbor, like you're in their community. Like, even if you're stationed somewhere else, the art is that everybody feels connected to you. So telling local stories just kind of cements you into one place where you could spread it out. A lot larger reach is what I'm saying.
No, I understand.
Like, do you think about growing globally? I mean, when we first met, you know, it was kind of like, hey, I sacrificed.
Hold on, let me interrupt. That's the one thing I regret, but go ahead.
Well, when we first met, like, it was about, hey, I sacrificed network opportunities and big opportunities because my family was more important. My time with them, staying local, not traveling all the time. You know, and recently in the last year or so, since Steve's really taken over, you know, getting our messages out to the world, you know, now it's turned into an international show. I mean, the website and the hits and views.
No, for sure.
So, you know, in order to scale and grow to that next level, I think we really have to like cover like a national scene, not just, you know, local stuff. And then maybe have a segment where it's all local St. Pete, just a tribute.
Hold on. I'm going to jump in and again, normally I don't allow you to have an opinion, but right. It's okay. You can. Sure. How many times, you know, have you watched a TV show just recently, Blue Bloods? And when Treat Williams, you know, was, in my opinion, murdered when a driver hit him as he was jogging or running or whatever. And there was a in memoriam to Treat Williams after an episode of Blue Bloods, or any TV show where you watch the Four Letter Network and, you know, a producer or somebody who's been heavily involved in that program. So it's the same kind of thing. Nobody would know necessarily the producer of one of those shows, but the Four Letter Network has always done that. So I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that all of these other media platforms, as well as this one, you know, has done that. And basically, we'll continue doing that.
All right. Good. I like it. I like the conversation. I mean, and you know, I didn't think the show was going to start out, you know, that way with the bells. I didn't anticipate that coming up because I didn't see any national headlines of, like, you know, a big loss, apparently, or, you know, from society standards, that is. But I was going to start the show with the fact that I'm so jealous that you're at UFC 300. I've tried to act like I'm not. I've tried to act like it's not a big deal. I've tried to act like I don't care. I've tried to act like I don't have the money to come out, which isn't much of an act. But I'm looking at this prelim card. Who in the world would think that an event would start off with Davidson Figueiredo, the Brazilian superstar, against Cody Garbrandt in the bantamweight division to start the event? I mean, this thing is so crazy. And that's why I messaged you yesterday. What's the energy like Vegas? I mean, it's always electric. It's always moving. It's always fast. But this is like the headquarters. This is where the UFC decided to become local, like we're talking about with, you know, Mr. Dudley's passing. The UFC is local to Vegas. So how's the energy? How's it feel? And are you satisfied that I am at home and you're out there?
Well, I always like when Steve and I are on the road doing cool things and, you know, we have to hear from you via phone or text. Honestly, and we've been here since Monday, the feeling that I've gotten, and again, you know, I'm not out, I'm not in the strip, I'm not in the nightclubs and all that kind of stuff, but I don't feel that it's any different, honestly, than any other UFC. Now, it may be just because it's, you know, day one of fight week. I got put in my place by a very cool man that works for the UFC not too long ago, like 15 minutes ago. You know, he's the guy that always gets us our wristbands and gets us into the building. And so, you know, we're pretty cool. We're pretty tight. And I leaned over and I said, to the best of my knowledge, I am the only person to have covered UFC 1, 100, 200, and soon to be 300 in the world, to the best of my knowledge. You know, nobody responded to me. I was at those two.
Really?
I go, you were at one? He goes, yeah, I was at one. But, and he did clarify it when he first said it, you know, not as media. You know, I don't know if he was working for the old owners, SCG, back in the day. And, you know, I'll talk to him after the show. But to the best of my knowledge, media-wise, I don't know anybody that was there at 1, there at 11. And again, to clarify, I covered UFC 1. I did not attend UFC 1. I did attend and cover. The first one that I had covered and attended was UFC 11.
So what was it about the UFC that made you make it a lifetime passion? I mean, because obviously other people start out in media, they get assigned to cover a sport, to build experience. A lot of the media guys that are there are not passionate. They're not fans. It's just a job, like you talk about in the NFL and different places. So with that being said, why did you embody this sport so heavily, and why are you still pushing for it? I mean, still traveling, still putting in the time for UFC 300.
A, to be honest, and again, the comment always comes back, and I owe Shane Grossman for this, and my younger brother who's flying out and meeting us here tonight said he just heard it for the first time when he was in a heated discussion with his former president of the company that he owns. When you say honestly, and the response is, no, lie to me. You know, right. Why are you saying honestly? I didn't expect you to lie. I don't remember Sunday, so I'm certainly not going to remember 30-some years ago. I know that it involved my friendship. Somehow I met Ken Shamrock, and somehow, you know, I did a lot with what used to be called Time Warner. Then it became Vision Cable, and now it's Bright House Network. I did a nice, you know, trade with them, and they would advertise and promote the show. We would promote their pay-per-views. So it was all through that I found out about it. And then, you know, covering it from afar, you know, at the beginning, going to UFC 11 in Augusta with Mark Coleman and Tank Abbott and all that. It's just what I liked about it is how true it was, you know, and you and I have talked publicly and privately, you know, about how it's moved on, and it had to move on to get to the level that it's at. If some point, and I don't know if we could, it's kind of like, you know, going back to your elementary school or going back to the house that you grew up in. You know, you go back and you go look at it, right? Someday, if you ever have the money, the means, we want you here, all of those things, I'll take you to what used to be UFC headquarters.
Oh.
And then you look at this now. You know, the gym that was in the first floor, or may even have been a basement, I don't know. And the gym that they now have here, you know, at the Performance Center. They had to grow. They had to build. They had to evolve. You know, at the very, very beginning, you didn't have, you know, even the Tito Ortiz's, you know, the trash talking, the brash, the, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, would a Conor McGregor, would a Chael Sonnen, would those guys have been able to survive? Not, and I'm not saying talent-wise, I'm saying, you know, just personality-wise. You know, I don't remember that way back then. You know, I don't remember, you know, the biggest brash guy was Tank Abbott because he just didn't care. You know, and that's why I loved him so. 30 seconds of watching Tank Abbott, and I need a nap.
Yeah, well, the guy fighting him also needed a nap.
Sometimes.
Or he's usually taking a nap.
You know, I always said that, you know, like I said, in the NFL, I would, and I'm very jaded, and I've been able to cover and go to a lot of games, you know, with credentials, that I would have paid money to watch Warren Sapp play against Brett Favre. You know, I always love when people say, I'd pay money to watch two quarterbacks play. They don't play against each other. You know, this case, it was Sapp and Brett Favre playing against each other. I always said that I would have paid, and I drove. It's before I met Steve. It's before, okay, cars. You know, I took the horse and buggy, and we went down to Miami to watch Tank Abbott in about a 30-40 second fight. And I'm glad I did it, because Tank Abbott came, he's going to knock you out, or he's getting knocked out real quick.
Yeah.
But it was the true sport. It was the sportsmanship. It was,
is it the, is it the passion that like you loved, like, and it, because we just watched the men's NCAA basketball tournament without Dick Vitale, without people like you that are passionate about the sport, like me with Power Slap and how passionate I was about what I saw, you know, like the men's basketball didn't have the same flair without Dick Vitale. The tournament just happened Monday night. The UConn Huskies won the national championship back to back, and it went under the radar. I didn't even know the game was on. The only reason I knew is because my friends from Indiana were tagging Purdue posts about cheering them on and support. But there was no real publicity behind it or no passion behind the sport anymore. And I think the UFC has, like you said, gotten to a point where it's scaled and it's larger, and you lose some of that passion as it becomes just a job for a production guy or just a job for an editor, or where in the beginning it was all like family that traveled together, like BKFC 5 years ago.
Okay. I didn't realize we went over the break, so we'll get to it in about 30 seconds. I just want to, in my opinion, no, this is another Shane Grossman. Of course it's your opinion. You're the one saying it.
Yeah, say it.
I think the reason that this wasn't a well-watched game, and I just saw this yesterday, that for the first time, I believe, ever, the women's NCAA finals outdrew the men's. And, well, and yeah, again, it was because of Caitlin. It was because of, you know, South Carolina, you know, their dominance, their, you know, that they're building. UConn, you know, is a powerhouse winning back-to-back, but nobody cares. It's UConn. You know, if it would have been the old Duke, if it would have been whatever. All right, we will continue the conversation. We are here at the Apex broadcasting for, and Matt said it, UFC 300. We have a lot to talk about. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have a sinkhole problem? Call APD Foundation Repair. Do you have cracks in your walls? Call APD Foundation Repair. Water pooling in your yard? Call APD Foundation Repair. This is Randy Harris, and I'm so glad I made the call to APD Foundation Repair at 352-200-9740. APD Foundation Repair services the entire state of Florida and provides free inspections and estimates. With the A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, it's a no-brainer. Give APD Foundation Repair a call today at 352-200-9740.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Debbie Checker, right here talking sports with Randy Harris.
Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm going to sing my song. It won't take long. We're going to do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again.
I'm doing the twist. We're twisting around here at the Apex as we are talking, chatting about UFC 300. What were you saying, Matt?
No, twisting is a great way of exercising, you know? It's a low impact, and you can do it anywhere. You take all the equipment with you when you know, because it's you. And you just twist, man. You just get down and burn some calories. So, Chubby Checker, shout out for being a fitness instructor.
Yeah, see, you didn't know it. You just thought he was a singer. But yeah, no, see? He's a rock and roller. I met him at a golf tournament. Really good dude. But anyway,
all the jazz musicians seem to be pretty cool, laid back, chill. I mean, it goes with the vibe, right? Like, it's the expectation you were speaking of earlier about UConn is just expected to win. Standard of excellence is so high that it's not really.
Yeah, I don't think they were expected to win. I just don't think anybody cared. It's UConn. It's not those elite schools that. You know, the novice NCAA basketball fans, you know, people would tune in to watch Duke, North Carolina back in the day because it was Duke, North Carolina.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people still UCLA from, you know, the 50s, you know, they haven't been anything since. I just think like Indiana, was it Indiana State, you know, the whole run that they had and didn't get in and then got into the NIT and lost in the last minute. I don't know if you know this, but when I believe he was called Larry Nerd. You know who Larry Nerd is?
There's only one Larry that's a legend, and his name is Larry Bird from French Lick, Indiana.
The Indiana State basketball player, his nickname is Larry Nerd. His other nickname is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, Kareem, because he's a white guy.
Yeah, exactly. So he was on the Pat McAfee show, and they were talking about, and will they get into the big tournament, and if they get into the NIT, and then Pat said, and had to be corrected, Pat said, if you win the NIT, I will give every player $10,000.
Okay.
And then his producer had to jump in, and he goes, no, that's not what he means. That's not what he meant.
Because every player on the team or every player in the league?
No, every player on the team of Indiana State. But you can't do that. You can't, you know, pay them to play because then that falls under, you know. So you could give them. Yeah. So I guess they changed it to, if you win the tournament, we'll have a discussion the next day.
He's got a good team. That's a good, that's a great team you got, Pat McAfee.
Yep. He saved
a great quickly, protection.
And they were down. I was watching one game. They were down. They came back. And then in the finals, I guess, toward, you know, at the very end, they lost by a shot or something. I don't know. But that's why I was saying about not anymore. I just thought the game that was played Monday night, you know, Purdue, who cares about Purdue? You know, if you're not a Purdue fan, if you're not a big NCAA, if you're not gambling on it, you know, but if you have some of those, like, love or hate, if Alabama's on, people are watching football.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
No because question. It's the Ric Flair. You either like them or you hate them. Or it's going to be, how many people really cared about Iowa? Seriously.
No.
It was the buildup. It was Caitlin Clark. It was, there was a lot of other storylines, and Purdue UConn just didn't cut it and doesn't cut it.
You're right. 100%. I mean, so those organizations that do master it the best, obviously the Yankees, the Patriots, the Cowboys, it seems like
Celtics.
When a program is so dominant, you're going back to Purdue and the legendary John Wooden of UCLA fame, head basketball coach, you know, those guys, That's it. I mean, when you win at such a dominant level, the people who can't understand or comprehend or resonate or feel like they're a part of that side of the equation, they hate you with the same passion that the fans love you. You know, it's a human trait. So those, you know, winning at the highest level creates so much tension on the other side. And most people will never experience that. But the great ones, the Conor McGregors and such, they mastered it.
Right. Well, and how, well, I've been saying it before I even knew you. You know, it goes back to Matt Hughes. I think Matt Hughes could have been a much bigger name than he is, and he already is. But if he would have had hate, he didn't have hate until late in his career. Yeah. If he would have had the hate that a lot of people have come out and, you know, for whatever reasons, when he was dominating, he would have been a much bigger star. I think Conor's as big a star as he is, A, because of what he's done, but there's just as many people that can't stand him, right, and the gimmick. And, you know, it's like Steve when he struts around and he thinks he's Conor. I keep telling him, Steve, you're not Conor.
Right.
You're Vince McMahon.
Right. No, but I mean, look, with that conversation is going to come up today. I mean, Jim Miller, the most UFC wins in history, the longevity, the pioneer coming from that era and still fighting today. You know, but yet he's not on the tip of the tongue when you talk about all-time greats. He's not talking about, I mean, a lot of people don't consider him to be a legendary fighter. Even though he has the resume, he doesn't have the fanfare or the name of a John Jones, you know, and so it's important to build your name outside of just your record, you know, and good thoughts on this.
Matt, hold on. The strutter wants to talk.
Yeah, so we have that on our own program. Like, we have a huge winner on our program and somebody that people love to hate. All that stuff. We have you, Matt.
Well, the problem is that I've played a really good role of being a tool and an idiot for all these years.
Oh yeah, now it's
but that's the expectation for me to be a part of like Knockout Radio. Just this, you know, but now people are starting to find out that there's a lot more to me than meets the eye. That I have a lot more talent than I've ever exposed or led on to. So, you know, now the expectation is going to change because, instead of just being pure entertainment, I'm bringing knowledge and experience to the table. And that's going to change the depth of the show.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
You said a lot of people are starting to realize who.
Well, there's that one guy that lives down the street, and then there's another one under a bridge.
That's why you got the dog, just so you could have that person say it for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, the dog's like, he's a believer. But I think, you know, that's... But it's all about expectations, like you talk about, Randy. Like, you know, and like rock and roll. Steve is a rock and roll fan. He's a friend. He's a guy that travels.
Hold on. He's not a rock and roll fan. He is a rock and roller.
Right, rock and roller. But the expectation of rock and roll is drugs, sex, and rock and roll, right? And anything goes, and they expect you to throw TVs off of hotel balconies and live the lifestyle. And that's just expected in that industry. Where
you know that just happened. Do you know that just happened in Nashville?
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
Did it really?
And it wasn't a TV. It was a chair. And it's one of country's biggest stars, up-and-coming star. He's already selling out arenas and whatever. And I said publicly, he should do prison time. And I believe it was three. It was two felons. He threw a chair from the fifth floor balcony.
And who is he? Who is it?
I forget his name. Something Wallen.
Morgan Wallen?
Morgan Wallen, yep.
What? Morgan Wallen, yep. The country star?
Yep, that's why I said country star.
He threw a chair off of a balcony? Off of a building?
Yep. No, where else would a balcony be?
Well, but for what? What happened? Like, what was the purpose?
Ridiculous.
Was it a fight? Was it a stunt? First of all,
loss of control or
anger?
First of all, does it matter why he did it?
Kinda.
It doesn't.
I kind of don't know. Curious.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he'd been drinking. I don't know if he'd been, you know, getting in a fight. You know, I don't know why, but I know it's two. I thought I heard that it was three felonies. The chair landed like 3 feet from two police officers. So when, once you throw that, which in a way bothers me. I mean, you know where I support police, but so you're saying if it's just some ham and egger that was standing there, it's not a felony? It should have been a felony no matter who it was.
Correct.
If it was an animal, if it was anything, this guy is an idiot. And he'll get off with a slap because of who he is.
But going back to the expectation role, in rock and roll, it's expected. But because it's country, there's morals behind it. Most of the music in country is wholesome. It's family. It's Bible Belt America. It's, you know, the fabric of our history, right? So it's conservative value. So coming from a country star, throwing a chair, losing composure, doing whatever, is big because of the expectation isn't that he represents.
I don't know if I would go, and you know, I'm a country fan. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's wholesome when they're talking about I got in the truck and came and killed you. I came to the truck, I smoked your cigarette, and then I blew your head off because you abused a female. That's not really wholesome.
Bro, I mean, that's how you play it forwards. That's why I train knees over toes. It's about going backwards, Randy. You play that country music in reverse, and you get everything back. Get your TV turns on, and your car starts, and your dog comes home. And, you know, country, you just got to play the opposite because going forward, it's all, like, you know, negative.
Well, isn't it all? It's all about your wife left you, drinking.
Yeah.
How many songs are about trucks? You know, but anyway,
But that's the personalization, right? So the truck is the outward display of who the person inside driving it is. That's why they always say that women say, oh, guys with big trucks and lifted trucks are compensating for small male figure parts. So, you know, it's an expression, right, of who's inside. So I think it does matter. I think it absolutely matters.
Okay. We'll get back to talking everything else. Let's real quickly, and we will be doing it for the next 2.5 hours, UFC 300. Don't forget Power Slap on Friday.
Scorpions. Man, I can't believe I'm missing Power Slap. My favorite sport.
From here, we're going out to Nellis Air Force Base to go hang with Primo and Slasher again. Go check out the planes, go into the Thunderbird Museum. It'll be a cool time. But let's go to the end. Steve always gives me a hard time because I'm already getting my exit plan as I'm on the plane coming. I'm already getting ready to leave on Sunday. So let's start from the back, the last event that we will be covering, UFC 300, Saturday, April 13th. You've already talked about the prelim. The first fight of the night, Cody Garbrandt, who's been on the show numerous times. The second fight, I want to see how many empty seats are going to be in the arena in T-Mobile.
There better be not be any.
With that being your opener, your second fight, Jim Miller and King Bobby Green. Mm. Jessica Andrade, your third fight, and then your main event of the prelim, was it Tarantula? Jalen Turner, who's been on the show numerous times. Let's be honest. That prelim, okay?
Yeah.
Is just as good as a lot of main events.
No question. No question. If there's empty seats at the first fight, fly me out, boss. I'll take up one of those empty chairs.
Just look at the card. Look how many people are ranked in the top 15 on this
one. And we're still talking about the prelims. So you got 8, Bobby Green 14, Jessica Andrade 4 against number 6, and the Tarantula, you know, at number 10. So, yeah. All right. So we'll hit a break real quick, and then we will continue coming to you live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and Bio Accelerator. We'll be right back.
Everybody. Nick Vitale of ESPN and ABC. Hey, let me tell you something. You're talking sports with Randy Harris, baby. You better listen. He's awesome with a capital A.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. For all of your banners, car wraps, and printing, call Compass Banners, Printing, and Wraps at 727-522-7414 for all your signage and promotional needs. Every sign tells a story. Every wrap makes a statement. Find us on Facebook. Visit our website at compassbanners.com or call 727-522-7414. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Uriah Faber, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
We are back coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for another big one, another big weekend, UFC 300. Probably in the next 5 to 7 minutes, the guy they built this card around is going to be stopping by. That's right. We just talked about him, Jim Miller.
Nice, buddy. Nice. Jim's a great guy, man. I just hope this gives him the recognition that he deserves because, I mean, he's been there for a long time.
55 professional fights.
That's unreal. Unbelievable.
I was trying to come up with something fast. Like I haven't seen 55. Well, I haven't seen 55 movies. We're pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
I was going to joke. I haven't seen. All right. It's not that I haven't seen 55 fights. I don't remember 55 fights.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, anything recent? I mean, obviously, you remember Chuck Tito. You had dogs in the fight. You had personal connections with the fighters. So I'm sure, you know, that's plays heavily in your memory of why it's so personal or meaningful. But what about recently? Last, let's say, 5 years. Can you name a fight that stands out to you?
John Jones, Dominic Reyes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, I remember that fight. I'm not saying it's the greatest fight I've watched.
Right.
You know, I remember that fight for obvious reasons. It was John Jones. It's a fight that 99.9% of the people in the world thought John lost, which doesn't matter. You only need two people to think you won. So that one I remember. I remember John, you know, the fight in Canada, you know, which some say, you know, is the greatest fight, blah, blah, blah. But no, there's nothing else that really sticks out because I don't remember much, which isn't good.
Wow, that Dominic Reyes fight was UFC 247, and you're out there covering UFC 300. So that means 52 fights.
No. It doesn't mean that. It's 52 or 53 numbered.
Yeah, numbered. Then that doesn't count all the other fights, you know, the fight nights and the Ultimate Fighter fights. But that's the one that stands out in recent memory. Is that because the industry is so, like, saturated? Is it because there's so many fights, so many events, so many fighters, so many storylines to keep track of that you just don't have the ability, like we used to, with the be spaced out every couple months for the buildup?
No, I don't think it's that as much as, you know, I mean, I can only talk about me personally. You know, I'm going to kind of compare it to when I watch TV at night. While I'm watching TV, I'm on my phone. I'm checking emails. I'm doing things. The only time I don't do that or be distracted or whatever is when I judge. You know, I may remember, and I don't, but I may remember more fights that I judged because I have to watch that differently. You know, and I've talked about that before. I don't watch any fight as a fan if I'm judging. You know, I'm zoned in. I'm looking for what I need to look for. And if I want to watch a fight, you know, as a fan, I'll purposely look away, you know, so that I can look at it as a fan.
So I had the experience this past week. I went to the BYB event. It was here in Tampa. I got a ticket, and I found out that it was outside the barrier. Found out that I didn't have a dog in the fight. Nobody that I actually currently train or was in a fight camp. And I felt like weird. I mean, it felt odd because for 10 years with you, I've gone through so many events and so many places and gone in the back door of arenas and no, you know, parking's free because it's media pass or credentials. And so this time I parked in regular parking. I used the media connection to get free parking. So I do appreciate that. But everything else, I walked in like a regular fan and I stood in line and I had to use the public restroom and not the private one. But I realized quick into the fight that I got a unique opportunity to actually see the product in which we cover as a career, the combat sport and what the fan pays and what they come for. And I got the honor of seeing the fighters for what they are and not caring who wins or if the tape is legal, if it's safe, you know, if the mouthpiece is in or ice is on the floor, you know, all the things that I would be paying attention to inside the barrier were not what I was focused on the outside. And I got to be a fan. I got to cheer. Even though I didn't care who won, I was just super excited that I got to pick a side and like let it be known. And then Martin Brown, a local fighter who fights out of Shift MMA, who all the Shift BKFC stars came out, Dave Mundell, the champion, and Jer Warren and Crystal Pittman and Superman Allen. So I'm in the entourage. And their guy, Martin Brown, who slept on the ground, like when the gym opened at 5 a.m.
Let me just jump in for a second. So then you're no longer a fan. Now you're involved. So where you're saying you're watching it as a fan, now you've infiltrated.
So I started as a fan. Then I went over and I got to be a part of a fight camp. And I got to cheer with their teammates and in their camp. And Jihad gave me that respect. You know, he's like, join us and like be a part of this. And like, so he gave me this amazing experience. I got to cheer and like as one of my own, like my brother, right? And Martin, his story was that he would sleep on the ground outside the gym. And at 5 a.m. when the door would open, he would go in and take a shower. And now in Tampa on Thursday night, he had the largest fanfare, the biggest pop from the crowd. Like this guy went from the street to a champion. And so like, that was just incredible to witness as part of a camp and then experiencing the entire event as a fan. So my question to you, Randy, is when was the last time you actually went to an event and just did the regular fan experience?
That, and I've told this story numerous times, so I appreciate you paying attention when I talk. The only fight that I remember as a fan, not, you know, Matt Hughes, Matt Serra, where, you know, I was invested because of both, or Matt Hughes, Frank Trigg, because I was invested. The only time I took the credential off, I ran into Brad Penny, my good friend, former Dodger, former World Series champ with the Marlins, and he had second row tickets. He had an extra ticket, and I had really bad seats. And he said, if you want, you can use this other seat. So I sat in row two, and I watched Chuck Liddell and Vandalay as a fan.
Yeah.
So that's the only time that I remember watching a fight, covering a fight. Well, I wasn't covering it because I and was a fan. But one of the biggest athletes on this card, and we've been talking about it, the card, and I said it, and I'm sure you've heard this 7,426 times, Jim. The card built around you for this. Good job. Give me your thoughts. UFC up front. I wondered with you. I was at you. I started covering the UFC. UFC and I are almost into this. The number of you participating in this 0-0 as well.
It's amazing I've gotten to this point. You know, when I first mentioned it a few years ago, it was like, hey, let me throw out a tough goal. Like I was in a different place in my health and my ability at that point. You know? So now, like, I'm feeling really good, training really good, performing really good. So I'm in a bit different, you know, like I was going into UFC 200, through 2015 or 16, you know, with 200 on the horizon, thinking like, okay, I'm going to drag myself to UFC. And, fortunately figured out the health issues, the Lyme disease, and, you know, kind of since then was taking it fight by fight. And, you know, a few years ago was like, hey, well, maybe let's get to UFC 300, you know, but I was still dealing with like, hey, I'd lost my athleticism for a couple years. I got my strength stolen away from me. And it was trying to like reinvent myself and figure out how to be an older lightweight, you know. I mean, once you turn 35 at lightweight, it's kind of like, farewell. So, trying to figure that out, and yeah, in the last couple of years, we got it figured out, and it's been awesome to go out and to perform well and win in ways that I really want to win, which is by knockout and submission. Sure. And, yeah, to be part of this card is amazing.
So, Matt, when you ask me how many fights do I remember, and I say very little just because of my age, I don't remember 35. You know, are you tired of hearing UFC 300, Jim Miller, you know, or it's not another fight, but are you trying to keep it as just another fight, and do you want everybody else just to keep it as just another fight?
No, you guys can make as big a deal as you want. You know, me personally, you know, I've been here for less than a day, you know, in Vegas. So it honestly, it kind of just feels like a regular fight week for the most part. You know, so I keep things really like kind of low key, and I'm not making a big deal out of it myself. But yeah, like it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to be able to do this and to you know to be here over 15 years. I've been in the UFC and still going strong, and I'm excited for Saturday night.
Before I throw it to you, Matt. I always say that when an athlete or anybody starts using that R word, mm-hmm. How difficult was it for you to then block it out? Because once you start talking, you're really 1 foot out the door, if not two. How difficult was it to step backwards and get back in and get that R word out of your mind?
Well, I think the reason a lot of athletes are afraid to talk about it and uncomfortable talking about it is kind of out of fear. You know, I was right there. Like I was preparing for that moment. You know, and I'm a father of four. So like I have to provide for them, you know, after I'm done fighting anyway. So it's like, it's the responsible thing for me to do is to be prepared for it. Not just like, oh no, I had a rough camp or I had a rough fight and all of a sudden now my career is over. Now what? So the mature thing to do, and in my opinion, the logical thing to do is to be okay with that idea. I know that I can't fight forever. So it's not difficult for me. You know, since about 200, yeah, it's been going fight by fight, And it's really the training camps. How hard the training camps are on me is really the biggest thing. Like how long I'm going to be able to continue to do this. And the training's been going well. So, you know, I feel great. Got a lot of my ducks in the row and things can happen, right? Like I've heard myself doing stupid stuff, you know, right. Picking things up off the floor right at this point. So, who knows what's going to happen, but, I feel like at this point, you know, the legacy is what it is, yes. You know? So, I'm just having fun with it and I really enjoy that. You know, it's hard to keep the smiles back.
Well, and I was going to say that, and I was going to stall because I know Matt wants to ask a question. So, Matt, I'm going to jump one more. We've had you on before. And a lot of times when I see the fighters, I was with Rich Franklin 2 days before a fight, and he's the nicest guy in the world, and I needed to get away. Just because, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. You're smiling. It's like it's Christmas morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like, it's not, like, I get to fight. Like, I'm a fool that's put their life into this sport, and I still get to fight. You know,
and get paid for it.
Yeah, I get paid for it. You know, and as I've worked my way up, I get paid more for it now than I you know ever did. So, I embrace it. I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for it. And I know that I earned it. I know that I earned it through my performances, coming out fighting as hard as I can every time out there. You know, so yeah, it's
good times.
It is. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's funny how, like, I watch the fights of, you know, me walking to the octagon for UFC 100. And it's like, that's a different guy. You know, he was in a much different place.
Right.
And now it's like, yeah, like I'm playing it. And, you know,
it's awesome to watch. Yeah. It's awesome to watch it. Go ahead, Matt.
So Jim, along those lines, you know, obviously to have a historic career like yours, you have to set goals and then go through fight camp and then, you know, win or lose, you know. So how quick do you enjoy a victory, let's say, before you set a new goal? Like, and the reason I'm saying that is because when you're going talking about the retirement years, you know, it's important at this stage when you're transitioning from active fighter to coach or whatever you decide to do, you know, how to reestablish new goals for the future to have something to train for, to look forward to. Yeah. So one, how long do you enjoy the victories or losses before you reestablish a new goal? And what is that vision you have of yourself after it's all done?
The goal, like the wins and stuff like that, it's like the next day, right? Like I'm always looking to that next thing. I don't really dwell on the wins or the losses. Right. Like I'm not trying to live in that moment, right? You know, because it's like, hey, there's still other stuff that needs to happen and is going on. I need to be present in this moment. So, I'm trying to make new goals like right away. What's next? I've done some professional speaking. I really enjoy that. It definitely gets the nerves flowing a little bit, you know, and it's intriguing. I know that I've been a little spoiled, you know, at this point, because it's like I've been able to be a professional fighter, you know, and there aren't a lot of fighters that get to actually just be professional fighters. Right. So I've been spoiled with the amount of time that I get to have and the things I get to do and time I get to spend with my family and on hobbies and stuff like that. So I don't know what, you know, post-fighting is going to look like. But there's going to be a lot of irons in the fire. I'm going to wear a lot of hats and hopefully be doing some stuff that gets me that little bit of, you know, juices flowing like fighting.
Great stuff, Jim. Thank you for stopping by. Enjoy the next couple of days. I'm in a better spot after just having you on for the 6-7 minutes. Never seen you this happy, and you're always a happy guy. All right, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to get your address. We're going to send you all those care packages that we'd like to do, and we'll be back after the top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
She said she needs some space and she wanna leave me alone. WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the